everyone. Welcome to Non-Traditional Student. I am Allison, the Non-Traditional Student. For those of you just tuning in, this is a podcast about me as a older person returning to college with a bunch of 20-somethings when I personally have a kid their age. Starting a whole career, moving cities, family, it's about all those things. Talk a lot about my actual classes. I'm going to become a pastry chef, so if you're interested in that, it's a great listen. If you're an older person thinking about restarting, great to have you listen to. Wouldn't mind having someone else in the same boat want to maybe do an interview with me or something, or jump in. That would always be great. So this is episode 6, and I pulled up the wrong thing. So what we've already covered in the not-so-distant past, I just started this like a little over a month ago, so it's really not that long ago that we started. So what we've covered is the whole first quarter of pastry school. We covered, you know, just moving here, what it's like to find a house in the Chicagoland area. It's actually pretty rough. Covered school, which isn't super easy. It's not overly hard. It's actually getting harder. So there's that. Covered my kids. I'm going to apologize now. Both the dogs are in my bedroom today as I record, and I can hear them breathe over the headphones, which means it's probably going to show up on the microphone. But that's okay. That's okay, you know. Who doesn't like hearing dogs? So fun stuff for those of you who already listened. If you listened to last week's episode, I did find music that I didn't hate, so that's good for my intro. Eventually I'll learn how to do outro music because I can't figure that out. I'm dumb. I guess that, like, someone's talking to me about Snapchat. It's like, I don't know what that means. I do. I know what Snapchat is. I just have nothing to do with them. So we are going to talk about last week for me at school. And it's been kind of crazy at school. We have a lot of people whose immigration status might be a bit in question. And since the 20th, we've had a lot of students who are very much on, and very understandably on edge, even though not necessarily the people I'm in class with have this problem. They do have family members where now they're pretty scared. You know, ICE has been all over the Chicagoland area lately, in the last couple days. A good friend of mine from school, well, as good as it can be when, you know, she's 23 and I'm not, I'm considerably older. She has some family and she's a little concerned, but she's not concerned for herself or her immediate family, just some extended family. But yeah, it's a little scary. It's terrifying to watch. It's terrifying to know how petty and unwarranted a lot of things that are happening right now are. You know, I never wanted this to be a political thing, but it is affecting me in my day-to-day life. It's affecting me at school. So I never really thought it would. You know, politics, generally speaking, previously, have never once affected me as far as my day-to-day life. And then to see in what? It has been 8 days since that man took office. And in 8 days, I have classmates who are actually scared that when they go home, like grandma and grandpa aren't going to be there. And it has nothing to do with their actual citizenship. It has to do with, hey, if you don't have those papers on you right then and there to prove that you're a citizen, guess what? They can take you, is kind of what the general consensus is. If your neighbor doesn't like you and you don't have your papers on you to prove it right then and there that you're a citizen, a naturalized citizen, well, there you go. And people who try to say it's not racist, bullshit, is very much racist. The whole thing is racist. They're not going after white people. Okay? They're not going after white people with no accent, or white people with English accents. They're not, or white people with French accents. They're not going after them. They're only going after people with brown skin. And if you don't think that's the truth, call ICE on your white neighbor. Not because you really want to, Just more as the experiment of call them on your white neighbor and see what happens. They're probably not going to show up. And that's as political as I'm really going to get at this moment with it. I'm hoping we're in Illinois. Pritzker's weird and crazy, but I do believe he's going to protect the people of the state. So, and as far as the people of the state goes, don't be petty little bitches trying to call ICE on the neighbors you don't like. Like, just don't be those people. Just because they're, not white doesn't mean they're doing anything wrong. So, and let's face it, you're not calling on everyone. You're calling on the people you don't like. You're calling on the Hispanic families. You're calling on maybe the Asian families. Like, just don't be like that. You're calling on people with accents because you're awful people. Just stop. Unless you have a real good reason to call, stop. They're talking about the criminals. You know what? Half the people that freaking Trump and his cronies are trying to deport aren't criminals. They're normal, everyday people who came here to try to have a better life. Some came here completely legally, some didn't. But either way, most of them aren't doing anything wrong. They're just trying to work. And by the way, they also, for the most part, don't get state benefits of any kind. I know people like to say, well, they get food stamps. They don't. They really don't. But yeah. Anyway, outside of that, like, that's a big one that's been hitting really hard the last few days at school. It's actually kind of weird. Since this whole thing is kicked up, one of the big chefs at our school has essentially disappeared. Haven't seen him. I don't know if that's why, if it's like a family issue, on vacation, out of the country, whatever. I don't know. It's kind of weird that he was there for like a day last week and then he just kind of disappeared. So who knows? Who knows? Hopefully he comes back though. But okay, so week six, it is the second week of the pastry technique class, second week of speech class. So we'll get started with that. So first we'll just hit on speech because I hate it, so I'm gonna get it through. Again, I love my teacher. I think she's a very nice lady. She tries really, really hard. She's really kind. But oh my goodness, sometimes less is more, and I don't believe she always understands that. She also isn't always the most clear on some things. The harder she tries to be clear, the more unclear she can be. So, like, we are currently working on speeches for About Us. And, she did not pick the subject matter. The school, it's National Lewis University, picked the subject matter. And it's about you. You're supposed to write about an event or an item that says a lot about you or really helped you form who you're going to be. So now these speeches have started already, and I already feel like I made a mistake. But so being set loose on this, she wanted something very big and very emotional. I don't do that. I'm not going to be a big emotional person in front of a bunch of people I don't know. Like, I'm just simply not going to do that. And also hearing some of these kids' stories are very moving, and it's just like, damn, I'm not doing that. Also, I will say, like, last Friday, she had actually put it in the slideshow that, hey, fill this out, work on your speech a little bit, and you can go. Like, that's what it said. This is your ticket to leave. Okay. So I filled it out. I worked for a little bit, worked on my speech on my computer. I also misunderstood the directions in like 10 other ways, but worked on the speech on my computer and then said, okay, well, I'm out. It's about a half hour left of class. Like, man, if I leave right now, I can make the next train and then I don't have to, be getting home at 5:30. I can get home at 4:30. Won't that be great? Well, problem was, okay, we weren't supposed to leave. So paid for that a little bit this week. She was pretty upset, felt pretty disrespected, and it's just like you actually had that in there. But anyway, and she didn't say anything. As people were getting up to leave, she didn't say a damn word about it. Other than that, nothing else happening in speech at the moment, just working on that speech. Talk about it again next episode. Because next episode actually covers this week at school. So we'll get to baking and pastry because that's more fun anyway. So it is week two of Pastry Technique with Chef Heidi. This week we took the dough that we made last week. We made our de tromp, which is just your dough without butter, by the way, for like a croissant or whatever your lamb, what's gonna be your laminated dough. We took that and made whole wheat croissants and Queen Amand. So we'll start with that because that was the first thing we did this week anyway. So Chef Heidi had us do it very differently than Chef Marianne. Chef Marianne wanted us to learn to actually roll the dough out, test the dough, see, like, pay attention to it. And we actually rolled our dough out last week with Chef Heidi. And she just had us use the sheeter. Like, it's very quick process, very easy. I prefer it, honestly. They turn out a lot better than trying to laminate the dough by hand by rolling everything out. But it's a good skill to have. It is a good skill to have. Not everyone can afford a sheeter. Not everyone's going to have space for a sheeter. So it's good to know how to actually roll out and laminate your dough by hand. Because then you can do it at home, like I did. Because, yes, I made Queen Amand last weekend for my son. He really liked the ones we made at school. So I made different ones for him at home that were a bit different. So as far as the whole wheat croissants were, like, it's croissants. She has, it's a croissant. It tasted like butter. I don't know. I preferred the not whole wheat ones. And because I honestly, calling them whole wheat is a bit much. They had whole kernels of wheat turned into flour, which makes them have a bit of a different taste, but honestly, no healthy value to it whatsoever. Chef Heidi, I feel, is very environmental and tries really hard to be healthy, to a point where it's just like, ineffective. She's trying, but not hard enough, like whole wheat, who cares if it's whole wheat? Because once it's ground up, it loses all nutritional value. You might as well just do regular croissants at that point. But that's my personal opinion. As far as the Queen Amand goes, it was fun to learn how to make it because I tried to like read directions on it before and they didn't really make sense, so seeing her do it was very nice. So we just took like half our croissant dough, rolled it out, we cut it into squares, and then like you just put layers upon layers of sugar on this dough while you're rolling it out for its final rollout right before you shape it. And it's just sugar upon sugar upon sugar, and you're rolling it into the dough, you're throwing it under the dough instead of flour, using sugar. So much sugar. And you have to use a lot of sugar or it doesn't caramelize properly. Queen Amand is a rolled pastry or a pinched-in pastry where pretty much you have pockets of like caramelized sugar in the center and along the bottom and top. There's also rolled versions of it. I did a rolled version at home. I actually prefer it. It was pretty good. Excuse me, I'm trying really hard not to burp. Other than that, I didn't like the ones we made at school. I just didn't care for them. So like we pinched them together, and Queen Amand actually, you normally, this is a classic technique. It's actually supposed to be like a large cake. It kind of looks like a crown, honestly. If it's done right, it kind of ends up looking a little bit like a crown. In France, it is served as a cake, actually. It's just in late recent years, it's become popular as little tiny, what is it called, quinettes. But anyway, so when I rolled it at home, what I did was I used just a shit ton of sugar, like all kinds of sugar on top, all kinds of sugar on bottom. The ones at school didn't caramelize properly for about anyone. It wasn't the texture I was looking for, because you should have a bit of a crunch and a snap with the sugar caramelization. The ones at school, no one's had that. So making it home and having it go successfully was kind of nice. They also got really burnt because I got distracted. I'm a mother. I got distracted. I had to attend my children and my husband and ridiculousness. And 10 minutes later, I'm like, "What is burning? Oh, it's my pastries." After I'd asked my son to pay attention. So, there's that. Anyway, so that was last Monday. No, sorry, that was last Tuesday because Monday was like President's Day or something, or Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So we didn't have school on Monday. And then Tuesday was actually, the croissant and Queen Amande, I believe. And it was bitter, nasty cold. Like when I say bitter, nasty cold, I mean it was bitter, nasty cold. Like to the point where I was surprised at least the schools, the local public schools didn't cancel. A lot of other schools did, like most of the Chicago schools canceled. A lot of other suburbs canceled. The suburb, like two towns over, canceled. But no, not our school. No. These schools right in the immediate area canceled. No, our schools didn't cancel, but all the surrounding ones did. So, that was special. We want kids to walk to school in negative 8 degree weather apparently around here. But hey, that's how you get to be number one, right? Anywho. Sorry, I'm looking at my list. On Wednesday, what we did was meringue cookies called rocher, and that is a French term for rock, and it's just a meringue cookie. You could flavor it. You're making a Swiss meringue and turning it into a cookie. It's nothing special. That day, we also made like our pâte sucrée for the following day. I think we made our lemon curd and our pastry cream as well the following day. So pâte sucrée, I've heard two different things now. I don't know technically what it means. Pâte sucrée is a sugar dough. It's like a shortbread dough, kind of. So it's very sugary, it's very sandy. Sucrée means sandy is what I thought, but then my teacher told me I was wrong, but it was actually a different chef that told me that's what it meant. So I don't know. Anyway, it was interesting. Our lemon curd was really weird. It had a lot of butter, like a gross amount of butter in it, to the point I was like, that is the most amount of butter I've ever seen. I've also never had to use gelatin for a lemon curd before, and this recipe required it. Also didn't have lemon zest, and I asked her about that. It's like, hey, this recipe is weird. And she's like, oh, it's just a different recipe. It's like, okay, you're the teacher, your kitchen, your rules. And we'll get into the total outcome of this one next week. Yeah, it wasn't necessarily a happy one. Anyway, the pâte sucrée, we made two large tart shells and four small tart shells out of them. Pâte sucrée, you blind bake it. When you take the beans out of the center of it, you want it to be still white, and then you want to cook it to a very light golden brown after that, before you pour in your fillings and let it set. Our teacher forgot to mention some of that, and a lot of them were like overcooked with the beans inside of it, and it ended up being a mess. She did not give very clear instruction, and the instructions she gives are never the instructions that they should that match what we're given on paper. I've gotten to the point where I'm just like, well, I don't know if I should follow what she said or follow what the paper said because it does not agree, and sometimes her directions don't make sense. Sorry, it's thirsty. And then we also made pastry cream. It's the same pastry cream we made before, the previous quarter. It's just pastry cream. There was really nothing special about it. For anyone who doesn't know how to make pastry cream, it's pretty simple. You heat your sugar and your milk or cream. You bring it to near scalding, and then you temper eggs with it. It could be whole eggs or egg yolks. It kind of depends what you're making. This is a very similar way to make curd, by the way. You temper your egg yolk. They're both stirred custards. There you go. You learned something. They're both stirred custards. Creme anglaise, also stirred custard. Anyway, and then there's one more. Sabayon is the other stirred custard. They are the mother sauces for the pastry world. Anyway, sugar, vanilla. She had us do it a little bit differently. So Chef Marianne, when we made pastry cream with her, you put the vanilla bean in when you heat up your milk, but you take it out before you temper your egg. Like you want to make sure the whole pod isn't still in there when you temper your egg. Chef Marianne's like, no, you keep it in there, and then you just take it all out at the end. Whereas we're, Like, it's not a big deal one way or the other, just the way Chef Miranda is. Like, you could actually salvage that bean and then use it for something else. Whereas the way Chef Heidi had us do it, the bean's wasted because it's covered in pastry cream. So, yeah, you just temper your eggs with it, pour it back in the pan. Gotta keep stirring it because you're using starch in pastry cream. I'm so botching this, guys. It's not hard to make. It isn't hard to make. I'll just put it that way. It does constantly need to be stirred. You gotta use a whisk with it. It's really important to pay attention, or else you're gonna get scrambled eggs. Same with any kind of curd. You gotta pay attention, or you're gonna have scrambled eggs. Actually, any mother sauce in the pastry world, pay attention, or you're gonna have scrambled eggs. And it comes to a point where you can't salvage it. But another big thing, also though, that I found weird is we use a lot of gelatin in this class, but I found out the other class, which is doing the same stuff, they actually don't use gelatin hardly at all. So it's definitely a little strange to me how much gelatin we're using. I've never really used it before this class, but like, it's a lot of gelatin. Like, I always thought, to make a curd, you use very little butter, and then just if you really need it, maybe a sheet or two of gelatin if it was absolutely necessary. But this recipe that we used a lot of gelatin and a lot of butter, and you're not really getting that much lemon curd out of it to seem necessary to use that much. Like, I thought curd was supposed to be pretty smooth, and this one's pretty hard. But whatever. She's the teacher, whatever made her happy, I guess. Kind of like having a super sweet apple pie. It's up to the person who teaches you. Let's see. But so we did the meringue cookies one day. We did the pâte sucrée and lemon curd pastry cream the next day. And then, doo-doo-doo. Thursday, we made Swiss and Italian meringue to make our fruit tarts completely. So Swiss meringue is when you cook sugar and egg together in a double boiler. Usually the double part is your mixing bowl on top of the water, the heating water. And you stir it till it gets to like what, 150 degrees, and then you put that sucker on your mixer and let it go. Whereas an Italian meringue, you're cooking just the sugar and water by itself. You're making a syrup. I can't remember quite off the top of my head. For some reason, 250 degrees. I think it's like 243. You want to cook your syrup to about 243. You gotta watch for crystallization, blah blah blah. And then you are whipping your eggs, and you slowly pour your sugar in as your eggs are getting to like a soft peak. Now, is that the way my teacher described it? No. Is that the way I describe it to people I'm actually trying to teach? No, but it is what it is. I'm just trying to burst through and tell you guys what we're learning. I know some people are gonna hear that, like, well, why would you pay so much money to learn how to make a Swiss or Italian meringue? It's easy. And I'm gonna tell you what, up until this class, I was a little scared to make Italian meringue. So there you go. I'm still kind of scared of my big ass knife. Like, I've cut myself so many times on these freaking knives they've given us that I'm a little scared of them. I can admit it. In fact, I have a new cut in my finger today. Didn't even know how it got there, but it's there now. Like, probably came from a knife. Didn't even notice. But yes, we made these. The Italian meringue went into decorating our lemon tarts. So it's a lemon meringue tart. I'm terrible at piping. And we had to do this. It was not an intricate design, it was just like a fan. Mine ended up looking like a clamshell somehow. I don't know what I did wrong, but I really botched it. One, I went from two separate directions. I started going one direction. It's like, man, I'm struggling with this. And then I started going the other direction. I didn't get things right to the center the way I should. Some people are really good at this. I'm just not one of them. We also made fruit tarts. Some people are just so extraordinarily creative and they take their time and it's beautiful. I didn't do that well with that. On one hand, I don't feel that bad about it. On the other hand, I wish I had done better. Like, this is my chance to do something pretty. It's the kind of things we want to do, but at the same time, I'm also liking that headset of when we were decorating them, it was already 10:45. It's like, man, I just gotta get this done because we gotta get cleaned up so we can get out of here. Like it's different mindsets. Like they're all like, well, yeah, we don't mind if we take an hour decorating. We're all gonna complain if we have to stay late, but I am of the opposite thing. Like, I'm not staying late because you guys want to decorate, okay? Do fancy on your own time. When it's 10:45 and we know she wants us to start cleaning up by 11:30, I don't have an hour to sit here and decorate my stuff. And there's some other confusing things going on in that class too. Like we have to do these menu presentations. Now, I thought we had to do at least four of them, and now a bunch of people are like, no, you only have to do one. It's like, ah, that's weird. I don't know. I thought she said, we had to do a whole bunch, so. I did mine already. I did mine on Bellbird, of course. I also have a second one picked out too. If we do have to do more of the arm wrap patisserie, because I really enjoyed it. Anywho, so we did the meringues. I did my tarts. They were okay. Long run, I didn't love our Italian meringue. I thought it didn't really taste like lemons. It didn't really taste like anything but sugar and butter. The crust would have been better if I'd baked it longer. It was underbaked a little bit. I don't know. Some of that is my bad. Some of it is my teacher's bad, I guess. Because I asked her, like, so this is it? You want it to be white? She's like, yeah, you gotta take the beans out when it's still white. What she didn't remind me of, and I didn't think because it wasn't in the directions, was you need to put it back in for like 5 minutes. You need to let it brown up a little bit. The last day of class last week, last Friday, we made candy lemon, wine poached pears, and mochi tart donuts. I actually had to leave early. My daughter was sick. She was sick Thursday, like stayed home, was throwing up, had a fever, pretty high fever. We had a rough night. And then the next day, when I checked on her before I left for school, she still had a fever. The coughing was better, but we also started running dehumidifiers last week, so it's helped quite a bit with the dried skin and some other stuff. It's helping with our dogs not needing to drink water like there's no tomorrow, at least. So candied lemons and poached pears, that was pretty nice. Like it smelled really good anyway. The candied lemons were tasty. As far as the mochi donuts, I don't like mochi. Like, I don't understand why people like it so much. I am not a fan. And the donuts that we made were not very good. They were kind of just, I didn't get to try them fresh. My bench mate, Gia, we'll call her, she was very sweet and she saved some for me. Just like she decorated our tarts. Like, we made our tarts together and she made sure to save some for me. And I'm just like, pass. I will pass. I want nothing to do with that. That pastry cream has gotten quite old, and quite basically, it's been over a week. They shouldn't even still be sitting there. Our teacher was trying to talk us into serving them. It's like, nope, that's beyond serving at this point. So we're a week old. That's not true. It's under a week, but it's old enough and soggy enough. I don't care to serve it. Let's see. But that was pretty much it for school. We did have every day last week, we had homework. We had two tests. It's actually pretty hard stuff. It doesn't seem like it should be hard. Like one of it was egg foam, some of it was sugar work. Talk to us about the different things for sugar, like the different heats and what kind of sugar is this and what kind of sugar is that. It's just like I am kind of curious in the future, like how important that's actually going to end up being. I wish I could talk to someone who's not a teacher and be like, do you really care if it's disaccharide? Like in the long run, in your future, does that matter? How does it affect what you do? Do you really care what sucrose is made out of? Do you really care, all this stuff? Like, egg foams. We know and understand egg foams. We know and understand what they do. Like, do I really need to understand all the science about, the proteins unwinding and all this, that, and the other? I guess like I should understand it. It's just part of me. Like, I understand why we need to know about leaveners and how they work. I understand some of the stuff, but other things I'm just like, this seems a bit much. As far as school goes, that's pretty much it. Just lots of homework, lots of tests. I tried to fight to get some answers changed because, like, no, I got counted wrong, but my answers aren't wrong. They may not have been the ones you're looking for, but they were not wrong answers. So we'll see what happens there. I'm guessing they're still counted as wrong because she did not seem too keen on looking into it. Anyway, so last week ends, I had a couple of kitchen fails. I made croissant and Queen Amon. So the first batch of dough I made didn't rise. The second batch of dough I made also didn't rise right away. And I could tell you why. I was following a recipe and I didn't temp my milk or anything. I was just like, it's fine, we're just gonna run with it. So my first batch had relatively cold milk in it. So the yeast didn't go. Like I put it, our oven does have a proof setting on it. So, it didn't rise at all. Like it was in there for 3 hours and nothing happened. I made my second batch of dough after that, after an hour when that one had been rising. I was like, okay, well, there's something wrong there. I'm gonna leave it in there. But I'm gonna make a second batch of dough. I'd left the milk out because, I'm that person. That one also just wasn't proofing after I let it set. Like everything went perfectly. It looked the way it was supposed to go. It smelled right. And it never rose. Like it never rose. And I was like, okay, well, that's weird. And I tried to do it the way we did it at school. We'd actually put our doughs in the proofer. We actually put them in the fridge to proof, to ferment, if you will. And yeah, nothing happened. Nothing at all. Didn't double in size, didn't do anything. So I was like, okay, well, that's not good. So put them away for the evening, put everything away, washed up. Next morning, I got up early because that's just what I do. I'm up at 4 a.m. lately, whether I want to be or not. So got up, looked at my doughs. Nothing had happened overnight. So I was like, well, that sucks. Threw them in the proofer just to see what would happen. Hopefully it would work. If it didn't work, fine. Figure out something to do with a bunch of shit that didn't turn out. So threw them in the proofer, and then I also made a third batch. This one I temped my milk. I made sure to get it to the right temperature. So for the yeast I was using, it needs to be at least 120 degrees, between 120 and 130. It shouldn't be higher. If it's any higher, it will kill your yeast. And guess what? I made this. I did not bother to throw this one in the fridge. I threw it right in the proofer. And guess what? It rose. It rose pretty fast. A couple of hours later, I went ahead when it had doubled in size. And you know what else happened? The other two started to proof. My second dough actually proofed fairly well. My third dough, the first dough technically didn't proof well at all in the long run. Like I let that sucker, when I saw it was proofing, I just let it go. And finally I was like, okay, well, I have other things to do. So my first batch of dough, I made the Queen Amon. Or I'm sorry, I'm saying this weird. The last batch I made Queen Amon. Went really well, except for when my husband needed me to do something else that was upstairs. And I was just like, hey, I'm trying to bake. These don't take that long. And I asked my son, hey, just keep an eye on it. This is one you really got to keep an eye on. They burn so easy. You just please check on it in a minute or two. And then from upstairs, you could smell the burning 20 minutes later. And I was like, okay, well, he didn't even check on those. So they burnt. It kind of sucked. Some of them are okay, though. Like, I have pictures. Some of them turned out okay. I will post those with this episode. And then my second dough, I turned into croissants. Again, it actually went pretty well. Again, got distracted. They got a little burnt, but not like inedibly so. But they went pretty well. I laminated well. I rolled it out as thin as I could. It went pretty well. The dough didn't fight me too much. It went pretty good. Like it could go better. Like I'm not gonna pretend like I did it perfectly. You should be able to see the spiral within your croissant, but then it should also like expand to like you have all these holes in there. That's what makes it so light and fluffy. It didn't quite turn out. I actually tried to make them caramelized croissants, which might have been my mistake. Like I kind of treated it like a Queen Amon, and just put a little bit of sugar on to see if how it would work out. I won't do it again. I would not do it again. Like, those would have been really good plain butter croissants. My third batch of dough I actually did the next day. That dough was just like fuck you from the start. Like, for anyone who cares, forget the language. But yeah, hardcore, that dough was just like, I don't want to. It almost refused to roll out for my lock-in. The butter wasn't behaving. Like, my butter went from being rock hard to super soft, back to rock hard and brittle. And it's just like, well, that's awesome. Yeah, just nothing on that one went right. I just didn't want to waste it. Rolled it out, like, just couldn't get it to roll out for the life of me. It just, nothing about that worked. So when I baked it, I knew it wasn't gonna go well. All the butter melted out. It was a mess. They tasted nice. The butter actually fried the bottoms of my croissants. Like, they were burning on the bottom, whereas the top was barely getting brown. So they're certainly a special thing. I'd even say they fried the inside. They didn't leaven, because croissants use a little bit of steam leavening as well. That didn't happen at all. It just melted and made a mess. So let's see, we talked about the paper that I hated writing. That's actually a speech. Like, I hate that she has these like organizers she wants us to do, and I hate using them. They make it so hard. I'm a just let me pound it out and don't make me think too hard on this, because I already think too hard on it. Last week I was at my son's high school registration, and his I think the week before that was actually the we all have to go to the school, and yeah, I think we already talked about that. The night where we had all go to the school, and it was crazy and just strange. But we did his school sign up on Saturday at the same day I made the Queen of Mine. He's in mostly honors courses. It's been a little result, but it's not even like real high school registration. It's not like they knocked it out early for the freshmen. No, this is just them signing up for classes. We still have to do real registration. Other than that, let's see. Our daughter got pretty sick last week, so like I said, I had to leave early. I already talked about the serious, scary, but side note of what's happening in the Chicagoland area with ICE. Other than that, oh, okay. So the thing I tried this week, or I wanted to try, but then I realized I couldn't afford it. I went to LA Burdick with a coworker, and I've seen this before. Like, we stayed at, it's in River North. It is right across the street from the Embassy Suites in River North, and I'd seen it from our window. It's right around the corner from the Acme boutique hotel. And I'd seen it and I wanted to try it. We went in there and it's freaking gorgeous. Like, everything is beautiful. Everything is set up very well. And they say, well, everything is handcrafted, right? Like, that's their big thing. And then I'm looking at it, looking at all the things. I'm like, bullshit, this is all handcrafted. I worked in a chocolate store for a year. This is not handcrafted. This is done by machines. You could tell because it's damn near flawless. Like, and I don't mean near flawless. I mean, essentially, at least as far as the chocolate work goes, it's flawless. There is not a flaw. And as far as dipping chocolate, now, there's all kinds of different chocolate work, guys. There's dipping chocolate, and then there's making sculpture out of chocolate. They are not the same thing. When you like, there's this guy I've seen reels on who, like, he makes this really truly amazing stuff out of chocolate by hand. That's one thing. As far as dipping creams and jellies and caramels in chocolate, generally speaking, if it's truly handcrafted, you're doing it by hand, you'll see flaws. Like, you could tell. You'll see, like, maybe not necessarily fingerprints, but you could tell it was held and dipped by hand. You could tell by the little spin on top of the chocolate or how the chocolate set. Excuse me, I'm so tired. I've been up since 2:30 in the morning. My daughter had a rough night last night. She's having some growing pains. But yeah, this place, we got coffee. Yesenia and I got coffee, because that's what we could afford, and that's it. There was a lovely little courtyard that you could see throughout behind the store. But yeah, we could only afford the coffee there. Like, they had some really neat stuff, some beautiful looking pastries and cakes. that you buy by the slice. It was like $8 for a tiny slice of cake, so we did not get one. It was $8 for our small coffees. Like their large there is only 16 ounces. I can't say I would go out of my way to go back. I can't say I'd actually go out of my way to go there. Their big thing is it's all handcrafted, blah blah blah. It's artisan chocolate, shipped straight from New Hampshire to 8 different stores. So, my belief in how handcrafted that is certainly went down, and just the expense of it. But to point it out, I posted it on my Facebook for the podcast. It was from Catherine Ann Confections about the increasing price of chocolate. For anyone who's not following that or just wants to complain about how expensive chocolate is actually getting, just like eggs, prices are going up. So what's happening in the world of chocolate? So chocolate comes from third world countries. Ecuador is a big one in West Africa. Now, in West Africa, they have moved mountains to make it more fair for the people who are actually farming and harvesting this chocolate. The cocoa beans, I should say, not the chocolate or cacao, really. They're definitely trying to make it more fair. However, in South America, not so much. There's, when I say the word plantation, we as North Americans think of one thing, and that is exactly what you should be thinking when I say plantation, for cacao in South America, except worse because it's even closer to the equator. And they probably get treated worse as well, to be honest. It's pretty sad, but so with the chocolate, just this year alone has already increased 22%. Last year increased quite a bit as well. I thought it said last year was like a 60% increase. Now these increases, the people who produce the chocolate, the people who are farming it, they're only seeing maybe 5% of that increase. But what's happening is the cacao trees are dying. Okay, they're dying. The people who are harvesting and farming, they don't have the money to be able to plant new trees. That's part of the reason for the increase. In West Africa, hopefully that will help. However, in Ecuador, the farmers aren't getting money. Like it's Hershey that's getting the money. It's costing more to buy milk. Well, it's costing more to do this. It's costing more to do that. Hershey has its own dairy, by the way. So just remember that. It has its own dairy. They get their own milk from themselves. So they really have no excuse to raise money. Same for Mars, since they use Hershey's chocolate. What is it? I think half the American-made chocolate uses Hershey's chocolate. So, when they say, well, cost of products is going up, it's like, oh, well, Hershey owns all its own fucking product. Tell me again. But yeah, it's an interesting thing. I have it posted on Facebook, so check out my Facebook. It's the same name, Non-Traditional Student, at Facebook. And then I also just the other day started Instagram for this. So check it out. Let's see, next week, guys, will be about this week. So yay, which end up being speech week. Yay. And some confusion happened there. But I hope everyone has a good week. For those of you who have reasons to be concerned about, the current state of affairs, I'm with you. Like there's some things that I'm like, okay, I'm totally on board with what's happening in there, but most of it is just so hateful, and the whole purpose behind it was to be hateful. And we all know it. So, okay, everyone have a good one. I will be back next week. This releases on Monday. I did record my special episode, so that will also be getting released here at some point in the future. I'm not sure when. Have a good one, guys. Bye.